This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
All right, final hour here of our week. It is Brock and Salk, 710 ESPN Seattle, 710sports.com. Of course, you can listen on the old 710 Sports app. It is driven by your Puget Sound Acura dealers. As we have kind of made a little tradition here, 9 o'clock on Fridays, an opportunity for open phone lines. That means you guys are in charge. You control the show. And, man, there's a lot to talk about. Everything from Felix and Earl and the Seahawks and the Mariners not hitting to freshwater and saltwater and rivers and DAs who can't hold you back. Yeah. There's a lot, man. There's a lot going on today.
Yes. And we're hearing more at a kid from Kent seems to be the runaway winner.
Yeah, I will say a Seahawks staffer who came over to me from an office member said, just walked right over to the tent here at training camp and said, guys, this is not close. It's Curtis. Curtis is by far the worst for living here his whole life and not knowing that that is salt water.
Elliot.
Yeah.
To not know that Elliot is salt water. Elliot. That's exactly right.
So there you go. I mean, there's a lot you can weigh in on today. You ready? You ready to open up these lines wide and let the people speak? 206-421-3776. Let's start with John, who is in Olympia on line two. Good morning to you, John.
Good morning, guys. I've lived here since 2008, and I just found out the Puget Sound was salt water. So
come on. Also, you just called it the Puget Sound, so there's a couple of problems here.
Is that a nod to MLB Network? They did call it Puget Sound the other day.
There's a T at the end of that.
So I'm watching the Hall of Fame game, and they showed Archie, and I think I was shocked that the guy is still in football. And I got to beat a dead horse, but I'll never, ever ask this question again. Isn't there a place in the NFL for a guy like Kaepernick who's got skills, or has he burnt his bridge and will never return, and I'll hang up and I'll wait for your response.
Well, what do you think? What do you think before you hang up?
Oh, he hung
he
up.
He already hung
he
up.
He just wanted our response.
All right.
And Kaepernick's in the news. Did you see that headline?
We could have
put that in good news, bad news, no news.
Or whoever it is
for Madden's
name out.
Yes, out their mouth and out their video game. And instead of just playing a different song, now they've created yet another headline. John, I would say to you right now that when you are suing the league, it's hard to get into the league. That he is in a lawsuit, looking at collusion and trying to win that lawsuit against a league that he and his attorney believe colluded against him, all 32, to keep him out. It's going to be hard to find a job.
But he wasn't getting in even before the lawsuit.
He was not getting in and did not get in last year before the lawsuit. But once this lawsuit comes into play, then I think it's very difficult to get in.
Yeah, I know. And the political climate in this country is nuts right now. And it's different than at any point, certainly in our lives, Brock. I mean, you know, you and I both grew up in the 80s and into the 90s. And especially when a time where politics was really an afterthought. And,
yep.
And clearly in the last, really just the last 4 or 5 years, it seems, it has become very much the opposite, where it seems to be on the forefront of everybody's minds.
Why do you think, and maybe now in the lawsuit he can't, why do you think Kaepernick has not ever really spoken and held a big press conference? And
he doesn't need to.
And done that route.
Because he is serving as a political touchstone for both sides in various ways without having to say a word.
Yes.
I mean, he's allowed one action from a long time ago, coupled with, you know, a lawsuit and a tremendous amount of money that he's given away to charity to speak for him.
Yes.
At the same time, he's missing out on an awful lot of money. I mean, if he could find a way back into the league, there's millions of dollars awaiting him because he's a pretty good player.
Yep.
I think he is just determined that he's there for something bigger than that in his mind. Right?
Yeah, John. So I don't know. Will he ever play again? I don't know. Is RG3 in on a minimum deal? Yes, he is. Is this going to be RG3's last shot after being out of the league last year? More than likely it is. Do these guys have long memories? And was it about Kaepernick wearing a Fidel Castro shirt and wearing cops as pig socks and doing those other things? They don't. I think some of these owners don't forget about that, you know, and that's going to play a role in some of their decision-making process, too.
It's just, you know, again, are those things worse than some of the things that you've seen a lot of other players do?
Nope.
I mean, with the domestic violence and the off-field assaults and the, you know, strip clubs with guns. I mean, Adam Jones got how many chances?
Yeah, I think he's still in the league.
Adam Pac-Man Jones is in the NFL. Yeah. And that's, I mean, go back and reread what Adam Pac-Man Jones did at that strip club to that girl.
Yep.
He took her head and bashed it against the stage, grabbed her by the hair and bashed her head against the stage. He's been allowed back in the league like 10 times.
Yeah.
I'm not going to buy that argument. Sorry. 206-421-3776. How about something totally different? How about Cameron?
Cameron?
Oh, no, maybe it's Cameron. In Seattle. What's up, Cameron?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. Hey, man.
Hey, so I was the guy that called about 2 months ago and said that the team was going to win 80 games. And while obviously that doesn't look like it's going to be the case, they're probably going to get over 80. I think there needs to be a real conversation about what happens if this team doesn't make the second wild card. And even if they do make the second wild card, that you should probably start considering what this team is going to look like if you want to move away from the older core. That it looks like, as it looks right now, it's probably not going to get you the AL West. And I'm not a really big fan of betting an entire another season of holding back rebuilding for one second wild card spot.
Look, Cameron, you and I have seen this pretty similarly.
Yep.
Yeah, no, go ahead. You can keep talking. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to pull you down. Go ahead.
No, I just feel the second wild card, you shouldn't really build. You shouldn't hold back your rebuild because of one game that...
I disagree with you there.
It's going to be less than a 50-50 shot.
They needed to do that. Look, when you haven't made the playoffs in 17 years, you got to make the playoffs however you can. I understand what you're saying for this season and this particular franchise. I'm sorry, you got to try to make the playoffs however you can. But Cameron, that's not going to take away from what I think is your bigger point, which is, hey, right now, if I'm a betting man, are you betting on the Mariners to make the second wild card, or are you betting on the A's? Or are you betting on the Astros because the A's beat the Astros? If you have to bet right now, are the Mariners the odd man out? And I would say that the smart money would say yes, that the A's and Astros are going to represent the AL West in some capacity, and the Mariners right now would not be favored in that point. Brock, thankfully, you didn't give up much at the deadline.
Well, that's the point. You know, and thank you, Cameron, for the phone call. And you may be proven right here over the long term in a wild, wacky baseball season.
They might not get to 80 wins.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. But I think the positive is they did not go all in. They did not trade Kyle Lewis. They didn't have many assets anyway. But it wasn't as if this trade deadline, they went all in, gave everything, emptied the cupboards for Chris Archer.
But what do you do this offseason if this team, after starting off with an 11-game lead in the wild card, blows it? And who knows where they end up? If they end up finishing winning 84 games or 85 games, what do you do this offseason?
Yep. Everything comes into play.
You've got to look at continue to overhaul, right?
Yep.
You've got to look at what you're doing to this offense. Yeah, you're probably going to bring back Cruz and Nelson, you know, and Robbie's not going anywhere. But you got to have a conversation about Seager. You got to have a conversation about Felix.
Yep.
I mean, you have to have a conversation about Zunino. I'm sorry.
Yep.
I mean, there's some real serious conversations that you would have to have. You don't have to have them today because they still have a 60 game sprint here to the finale. But the beauty of this group
and why they were signed to extensions, and albeit 7-13 since that, which is just stinks for them. But the reason they were signed is this is a nimble group.
Mm-hmm.
They have shown in their 3 years of leadership, in their 3 years of working under this ownership, they're not going to just be stagnant. They're not going to do it the total conventional way. And I do find some comfort in that, Mike, that if it goes the wrong way, they don't put their head in their sand and pretend like, oh, we just had a bad break.
No, that's true.
They have never done that with anybody.
Agreed.
You know, and that gives me at least a little
bit. I'll tell you, this offseason, if they do not end up making the playoffs, and if they really tank down the stretch, it's going to require some overhauling. It's going to require all of that creativity that they've got. 206-421-3776. Any subject, it's up to you guys, man. We got open phone lines all this hour. Joe is in Roslyn. Let's talk a little UW football with you, bro.
Nice.
Let's go, Joe. What's up?
Hey, top of the morning to you, fellas.
You too.
You going to be in Roslyn this weekend, Joe? You want to hang out?
I live there, buddy.
Okay, well, I'll see you there this weekend. I'll see you at the farmer's market. What day is that, Saturday or Sunday?
Sunday morning.
Okay, I'll see you, Joe, Sunday morning at the Roslyn Farmer's Market. I promise you I will be there. Bring it.
All right, sounds good. So, no, I guess I had more of a question is, what's the deal with Hunter Bryant and Huskies? I mean...
Yeah, he's lost for the year. Yeah, he's lost for the year. He had another significant, unfortunately, injury to that knee that was an issue in high school coming in, continues to be an issue, and I hope for Hunter Bryant's sake that he can continue to come back and play football at a very high level after this thing. But that ACL that was partially torn last year required actual fixing this time. They tried to rest and recover and do all of that. That did not work. So he's going to be out a significant time, and more than likely this entire season, unfortunately.
Do they have the horses to replace him?
They do not have another Hunter Bryant, but they have three or four tight ends and fullbacks that they should not take a significant step back. You know, that you saw them grow Will Disley, and I was just looking at Will in here in the weight room, and you saw him kind of grow in that program. That's one thing Peterson has always done at Boise and other places is grow that tight end group. Cade Otten is a young redshirt freshman that I would love to see out here with the Seahawks. I would picture him right now out here at 6'7", 250, athletic. You know, Drew Sample is a very competent senior guy. They will have some blocking tight ends. They just unfortunately will miss Hunter's playmaking from that position.
I know this team's going to be able to run the ball, but there are just so many questions about their throwing game. I mean, they still haven't replaced John Ross. Now you're talking about, you know, you obviously use Disley, who was a really good player, maybe not a pass receiver. And then Hunter Bryant was supposed to be, you know, Pettis is gone. And for all the conversation about Jake Browning and kind of what he is and what he can do, it seems like a lot of it may just have to do with his weaponry as well.
Yeah, and thanks for the phone call, Joe. And I would say this, though, off both on and off the record, Jake has talked about the wide receiver group and the wide receiver position. He feels a lot better about it going into this season than he did last year. And that last year still included a Dante Pettis, who obviously was a second-round pick and a phenomenal player, but is an overall group. And what he has got to work with and the growth of Aaron Fuller and some of the other components and getting Chico McClatcher back, there are plenty of pieces and enough pieces in that tool bag to work with. Certainly to win this conference, to compete with Auburn, an elite defense, they're going to grow up real fast and we're all going to get to evaluate
that. What were
that.
People saying about them when you were back East?
When I...
And you were at the college football seminar earlier this week, so all the college football people at ESPN, the whole country, I know that they associate you with Washington. What are they asking you? What are they saying?
Yeah, I think there were two overriding vibes that I felt in that room as the Pac-12 took a significant intentional step to be present back East. David Shaw was there. We were on a Skype call with Jake Browning as an entire room with Bryce Love. There were two vibes. Number one's like, enough. Okay, enough with the Pac-12. Enough with your trying to get involved and send people here. Like, I don't want to hear it. I saw your 1-8 bowl record. As nice as this is, you know, that kind of you want to be the squeaky wheel, just don't be annoying.
Yeah.
Some of the vibe was like you're starting to get annoying. Like, enough of trying to put yourself out there, which I didn't mind because this conference, I know their warts and I know their challenges with exposure. So, good. I'm glad it created some of that vibe. On the second hand, I think the other second vibe was it was, and I was asked, is it Washington? Would you take Washington or the field in the conference?
So, it's a good spot to be in.
Yeah, man. So I think that is some of the positioning that they've earned, playing against Alabama, playing in the Fiesta Bowl, you know, some of that national success they've had, and now they'll get to do it week one.
Well, and they can do it against Auburn. Going to be fun. All right, 206-421-3776. You guys set the agenda. Anything you guys want to say, anything you want to talk about, we're letting you guys push the agenda here for a little while. Let's grab, how about Anthony in Spokane on line 5. Good morning, Anthony.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Going better now. The rain's gone away. It's dissipated. The blue sky is out. The Seahawks are going to practice on the grass. Salk and I are golfing today. I'm going to hit the Roslyn Farmers Market Sunday. I got it pretty good. How about you?
Sounds good. I'm on my way to work. Love the show.
Love you. Love you for listening. Bring it.
So with the King Felix situation, it's kind of sad for me. Been a Mariners fan forever, and it's just, if you really think back to all of his good years, they were kind of wasted. There was 2010, he had 13 wins but 12 losses, but a really good ERA because the offense was so bad. So I feel like as time's gone on, we know as true Mariners fans, but his real prime was wasted with a rough team. And then he was never a 20-game winner. He was close a few times, but it's just sad to see it go down like this.
Yeah, it is hard.
There's no doubt that those things you said are true. Now what? Now what? I mean, like you're right. I don't, Anthony, you're absolutely right. They were wasted. Now what do you do?
Yeah. No, I know. Like you guys have been saying the last couple of days, it kind of is what it is. We got to get over with it. But I don't know. It just sucks because I've loved him forever. And it's crazy that he's so young, but his arm is dead. I know he started when he was, what, like 19 years old, and he's been pitching forever. So he's just out of gas, whatever it is. But
that's an interesting way. I haven't heard anybody say it like that. That's interesting, Anthony. I appreciate the phone call. That his arm is just dead.
It's like your driver, bro.
That's what I was thinking about.
Yeah.
I took a golf lesson the other day. The guy's like, you're hitting the thing well. That driver's just dead. Use a different one.
Yep,
like, oh, I started using another one.
Or like that
off.
$600, you know, fast pitch bat that I think some of the folks pay for out there, that it just gets dead and you got to go buy a new aluminum, you know, and it could cost $500 because that thing is just dead.
But that does happen.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, that's so crazy to think about, man. And it is sad. You know, I remember when I first got here just watching Felix, and that was 2009. And all this, by 2010, Felix had reached a point where when he walked somebody, literally, if he just gave up a walk, or if he had two base runners reaching an inning, you were like,
whoa,
is he hurt?
Right.
I hope Felix isn't hurt because he gave up two base runners in a row.
Yep.
He was devastating.
Yeah.
His changeup was as unhittable as any pitch out there. I mean, that's right there with Randy Johnson's slider and Pedro Martinez's changeup and all, you know, David Wells's curveball, you name it, all the great pitches that we can think of. It was right there with any of those. And now to watch him with, as a caller just described, kind of a dead arm.
Yeah.
It's really bizarre.
It is hard. I guess I'm a little immune to some of that, of just being around, you know, seeing guys get old and try to play, and you almost feel like, man, that you just, it's just a disservice.
But
you
he's
know?
Not old.
But his arm is old.
But he's not old. I think that's why it's so hard. Yeah, I get
his
it, Brock.
Arm
Your story
and his
about
body
Jerry
old.
Rice, he's 75 years
oh my
old,
gosh.
Running around here. Like, I get that. I think we all understand
that. He was like 44.
Felix is what, 31, 32?
32.
I mean, come on. That, and it's been now 2.5 years of this. It's been since his 20s that we've seen this.
Yep.
That's, I think, what's so crazy about it. 206-421-3776.
Jerry looked good, by the way. Still spat it up. Didn't matter that the rose started on the halfway back on his head. He still looked good.
Let's grab Larry, who's in Lakewood, line 6. Good morning, Larry. What's going on?
Good morning, fellas. How you doing this morning?
So good.
Good, good. Hey, listen, I've got a question, but I feel almost sacrilegious to ask it.
Uh-oh.
Edgar was a fantastic ball player and a great, great hitter. My question to you guys is, what is his reputation as a batting instructor? Is he considered a great batting instructor? Because I'm just pulling my hair out. We cannot score more than 3 runs a game.
Larry, I'm going to let you off the hook here, okay? I'm going to give you the only answer that will help you sleep at night. Are you ready for this? Because I know this hurts. You don't want to ask this. This is Edgar we're talking about, right?
I know.
This isn't some guy.
I had to do it.
I could tell you were wrestling with this. The angel on one shoulder, the demon on the other.
And Larry, you were a sacrifice because there are others on Twitter and on the text who will do that in anonymity. But Larry, you put yourself out there.
That's how Lakewood rolls, man.
For
Larry,
sure.
You had the guts to ask this question. And because you showed those kind of guts, I'm going to help you out. I'm going to give you the only answer that will let you sleep at night. You ready?
I'm ready, buddy.
It doesn't matter. Hitting coaches are irrelevant. It is the most irrelevant position in all of sports.
Okay.
Don't worry about it. It doesn't matter whether Edgar's good at this or not. It doesn't matter. The hitting coach is only there to get fired when you're not hitting. He doesn't change anything. He can't make a guy hit. These are major league hitters. You want to fire somebody? Fire the minor league roving hitting instructor for not raising guys the way you want them raised. If you're at the major league level and you're relying on a hitting instructor or a hitting coach to help you hit, you don't belong in the major leagues.
Can I take it even one step further, if you wouldn't mind, Larry? Let's play another just quick little game here. Who are the three best head football coaches in the NFL right now? Who are the three best head coaches in the NFL right now?
Well, I would say Pete Carroll, Belichick, and I might say the Ram coach now.
Okay, Sean McVay. Who are the three best college coaches going right now in football? Three best
Right now, I would say Nick Saban,
yep.
Chris Peterson, and I'm a coug, but I'm not going to say Mike Leach.
Maybe Dabo Sweeney. Maybe Jim Harbaugh. Maybe somebody. Okay, now lastly.
Yeah, good one.
All right, lastly, Larry. Who are the three best hitting coaches in baseball right now? In fact, not even the best.
I have
outside
no idea,
of Edgar,
bro.
Name three hitting coaches in baseball. Salk.
Walt Hreniak.
Salk, right
around?
Now.
Walt Hreniak. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Richie Hebner.
Maybe Rod Carew.
There you go. Larry,
Don't worry about it, Larry. You can go to sleep. Don't worry about it. You can sleep well at night. Thanks for the phone call. That's why I joke about blaming Edgar, man. I mean, look, it's a hitting coach.
Is Mark McGwire still a hitting coach? I think he's still maybe a hitting coach.
He's roaming around there somewhere as a hitting coach.
They're just not.
Walt Hreniak is the one who had that idea of the helicopter swing.
That's right, with the White Sox.
Right. But other than that, I mean, look, these hitting coaches don't matter, which is why I'm not giving Edgar credit when the team hits, but I'm also not going to get mad at him when they don't. It has nothing to do with him. 206-421-3776. Our guy Kendall, he's our number one caller on the board. He's been hanging on. Kendall's in Santa Monica. What's up, dude?
Hey, guys. I was going to talk about the Mariners today, but, you know, this Urban Meyer thing just keeps sticking in my head, and it keeps bothering me. And there's a point that you guys made yesterday that had me thinking. I think it was Lydia who said, when you compromise a moral principle for the sake of winning, it's, you know, that's the real problem. And the reason it's so bad, and I think it's worse than people think, is that when you're doing, especially in the case of domestic violence, what you're doing is it's an act of dehumanization. You're saying
that this thing values more than someone's life. And that's beyond politics. That's just basic morals. And in the case of Urban Meyer, you know, he's allegedly a man of faith. And what's the golden rule? Mm-hmm. Treat others as you would have them treat you. And so this is a man, and, you know, he's probably one of the most powerful people in the state of Ohio, who's exhibiting this moral flexibility and moral culpability. And so what I want to see is I want to see him punished to the fullest extent. And he should be dragged through the mud publicly, because sports plays such a big role in public life. And like I said, this is beyond politics. This is about basic human decency and understanding that when someone's life is in danger, yep, and when someone's being abused, you have to make the right decision. And that's like the Pac-Man Jones thing that you mentioned, Sauce. Like, I'm just sick of seeing this moral softness, and it's frankly disgusting.
Well, Kendall, thank you for the phone call. Lydia this morning on her show on the Blitz played a couple Chris Peterson cuts. I think we have them. I wanted to get to the sound anyway today, and I'm really glad that you took it that angle and you brought that conversation up, because Chris Peterson held his press conference yesterday, and he was asked about it. He was asked about winning at all cost. He was asked about integrity, whether you can have that in college football. Here was Coach Peterson yesterday in cut number three, speaking to some of those decisions he's got to make.
Hold on one sec.
Oh, no problem.
Our system, if you're not prepared for it, our system will sometimes, it'll lock you out.
Sure.
We have a really bad system where if you don't use it for like 5 minutes, it just locks you out.
And the hand signals, I can give them from here when we're at the VMAC.
Cut three.
I think every day something comes across my desk that I'll be challenged integrity-wise. It's not about making one good decision and move on. It's like an everyday thing when you're in a big organization or a big place. And it's a lot of times it's subtle stuff. Like sometimes it's like it starts here. It all starts small. We tell our players that all the time. It all starts small. It's like you don't end up all of a sudden, like that doesn't happen like that. And so you got to pay attention to the small things to make sure that you're, you know, on track of who you want to be and how you want to conduct business.
I think he's right, and I'm sure that I think we can all kind of grasp the fact that that job comes with a lot of moral challenges day in, day out with, you know, I've seen the program. Like, I have a sense as to what's going on in a college football program. But I think in cut four, he explains his philosophy on how you got to deal with it.
Our cuts are not working because the sheet changed, long story short.
All right. Can I have the other Chris Peterson cut? No? Okay. Well, he says basically it's not win at all costs. It's win with values and beliefs.
Yes.
And
I don't think it's win at all costs. We just had that meeting this morning with our staff, and we all the time, it's not win at all costs. It's win with the values and beliefs that you're all about. That's how you do it. And I think that it's just important that we stay true to who we are and what we're trying to be. And I think that's why it's important to talk about those things and the philosophy of your program. You know, everybody has philosophy. Everybody talks about culture. I mean, it's just like to ad nauseum. You know, it's like, do we really have to
go that way? But you better have a conviction. And you know, I was chatting with somebody yesterday. Oh, we got to run. Okay, I want to finish some of this conversation up. I think we got a bunch of callers too.
We do. 206-421-3776. And Howdy and Lydia and Ashley are gonna fire the people who created our news boss system.
Uh-oh.
I think there's going to be a meeting of the minds.
God bless them.
There may be some boot kicking involved, especially if Ashley's there.
Cowboy boots.
Get the goats involved,
ready.
Ashley. Get those goats out there and attack the people who created this stupid system. We'll be right back. The phone lines are open. Brock's got some more thoughts on Urban Meyer. It's all to come here on Brock and Salk.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
All right, wrapping up our week over at Seahawks practice once again today. It's Brock and Salk, and this hour is brought to you by Tackle here on 710 ESPN Seattle. Phone line's still full, and it's always fun. I love this, man. This is one of my favorite parts of the week. It's just talking to you guys,
yep,
and hearing what's on your mind. I know people give me grief and say that I cut off people and stuff, but I enjoy the argument. I enjoy the conversation. I think it's one of the most fun things we get to do on this show is hear what you guys are up to and what you're thinking, and it gives us a little bit of a vibe of the city and kind of where people are at and what they're into right now. So, we really do appreciate
it. I could not agree with that anymore. I 1,000%. And then you get a chance to meet Kendall, like we just did, or Deborah to take a picture with, and you get to see some of the other folks out
That's
there.
That's a cute baby.
That was a really,
Mercer?
Yeah. Mercer, good-looking kid.
Real good-looking kid.
Yeah, it's the shape of the head of the baby.
Yeah.
Like, that, you can really differentiate yourself aesthetically.
I really miss my kids already. Yeah. They've only been gone 24 hours, and I already miss my kids. What has happened to me? This is sad. Hey, Howdy, I'm told that you created something. What is the deal here? You made something for us?
You've been in love with this punter for so long.
Let me be
clear. And then
clear.
We had him on the show earlier today.
Not only am I in love with him,
really
Howdy.
In love with him too.
Howdy, I had an option of any rookie Seahawk
Excuse
we wanted
me.
Today.
We.
Well, fine. We had the option. Yes. But I immediately said, we want the punter. We want Michael Dixon, the Australian punter. And then Ashley got all butterfly eyes. It was a mess. So what do you got for us?
Yeah, so we put together a little song about maybe our show's love for the punter.
We want the punter. Bring him on.
So many different nicknames when I first got here. Dundee, Aussie, Dingo.
You all right, Ashley?
He could just read a book and I would be happy. I don't even care what book it is. Just read a book to me.
Got the voice of an angel.
Oof.
Got a leg that can get 18 different ways. Saying shrimp on the barbies. I need to get him over to my crib and read me to sleep. I'm in love with a punter. Kicking his accent so sultry. He melts in my soul. I'm in love with a punter. Punting his accent so dreamy. He making me giggle.
Oh man.
There you go.
Got a good ring to it, man. Ashley and Lydia, man, we're all a giggle.
Yeah, but you guys' giggles were crazy.
Well,
yeah. I mean, let's start. Let's this isn't just out
of
nowhere.
We giggled
thing.
More.
I mean, you started the love affair.
Maybe
we continued it.
But that, yeah, that's fair. It's not the voice thing for me.
No.
Have you heard? You know, Benedict Cumberbatch is.
No.
Sherlock Holmes, now Dr. Strange.
British actor,
okay.
Who's very good looking. But apparently, and I guess
he's very good looking too.
Yeah, so this is, and everybody loves the accent. So I guess this surfaced a while ago, but I just saw it recently, like this week. He was hired to do a document, to voice over a documentary, a nature documentary that involved penguins.
Like the honey badger guy.
The problem he has is that he can't say the word penguin.
Is penguins, crested penguins, parent penguin heading home. So why are these woodlands so attractive to penguins?
Brock, I've listened to this like 20 times. I cannot stop laughing at it. First of all, he calls them penguins, but then
parent
he
penguin heading home.
Then he changes it to penguins. It's bizarre.
Penguin.
So why are these woodlands so attractive to penguins?
He definitely says penguin. This would be like hiring Brock to do a nature documentary about jaguars.
True. I immediately thought of that
like
word.
Like, you would have to raise your hand and be like, I'm sorry, the money's good. I'd love to be a part of this project. I just can't say jaguar, so I'm out.
Or a documentary on the Texas A&M Aggies. Yes, either one of those. Aggies,
oh my gosh,
Aggies or Jaguars. Both of those would be pretty tough.
All right, 206-42.
It's penguins.
3776. Where should we go? How about Andy in Oklahoma on line 5? What up, Andy?
Hey, what's going on? Of course, I had to follow the penguin monologue.
Yeah,
I don't
you
know
did.
How I can follow them.
You can do it. Boomer Sooner. Go ahead.
So I'm driving right now. My whole family trip here. We're moving from Arizona to Virginia.
Mm.
And I figured I'm on my way to the Mississippi, so I'm just going to go ahead and settle the debate for the whole show right now.
See which way it flows for us. Thanks.
And see if it's saltwater.
Really call Bob Gross and Tom at noon.
I'm really interested myself. So as far as sports talk, and aside from the Mississippi, which I'm really excited about, I feel like the Mariners haven't grasped the situation. Maybe they have, but just from the outside looking in, they haven't grasped that. It's like they're going to miss it. They're going to miss the opportunity. And the only thing that I think might save them is when Cano comes back, and he comes back with maybe an attitude that's going to be commensurate of, all right, let's get going. You know, I've obviously haven't done the team a service, but here we go. Let's, you know, get on my back. Let's go. And obviously it's going to be a big shot in the arm, and here we go. And it's going to be the cardiac kids, and they're going to be up against it because obviously athletic, their momentum, it's they're obviously going to be up against it, but that's what I'm hoping.
Okay, I would say a couple things to you, Andy, and thank you for your field trip work.
Thank you for your service there.
Yeah,
yeah.
Your field analysis and surveying you're going to do with the Mississippi River later.
But in that sense, the Mississippi River is the ocean.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate that. I would say, Andy, that there's a couple things going on. Number one, you can't play that card. Scott Service can't play that card of desperation yet. The players can't play that card. They can't break bats over their knees or crack their helmets on the ground. Or Anson Nicasio last night showed some emotion after he gave up the bomb. And they know. These players know. They also know there's 53 games left. They cannot panic. They cannot show maybe what you show over the course of a football game, right, in a two-game slump, and a coach has a team meeting, and they lose. It cannot operate that way in baseball.
Let me grab Joel, who's in Seattle on line one. Good morning, Joel. What's on your mind?
Morning, guys. I love your show. I've been listening for a long time, so glad to call for the first time. But,
Joel, let me put a little pressure on this call.
What's up, Dundee?
If this is a great call, I've got an awesome prize for you.
Ooh.
Okay.
So I hope you, because I forgot to give this out earlier.
Wow, and this is a first-time caller?
Open
totally
on a stage.
Totally planned.
So if this is a great call, I will give you a sweet prize. Otherwise, I'm opening it up to the field. So here you go. A lot of pressure.
Here we go.
All right, here we go. So I think it's time to rip the Band-Aid and say goodbye to Earl Thomas. I think that, you know, this is not a Super Bowl team anyway, and that we need to start fresh with new blood and start over like Pete Carroll did, like, you know, like 7 years ago. I think that he's not setting a good example for the young guys on the team, and I think he needs to go somewhere else. He can actually, I don't know, make a different impact for someone else. I don't think that he is really sold on Seattle, like he wants to be here anymore, you know? So, yeah, that's my thoughts. I think that
strong call.
Go.
Strong enough, though? Howdy, what do we think? Strong enough for this cool prize, or do we open it up?
I'm going to go with yes.
Strong enough?
Ooh.
Very strong.
Lydia, strong enough?
Sure, yeah, I'm in.
That was a very half-hearted.
Very nice.
Lydia, half-hearted.
Well, I always want to give everybody an equal opportunity.
Oh,
so it's not that I don't believe in you, but I'm also wanted to give other people a chance.
I'm with Lydia. I think we got to open it up. It's a good call.
It's a good call.
But it's
you
not
know what
like,
time it is.
Huh?
It's time to give away the prize.
Yeah.
To Howdy, though. That's the funniest song he's done since Wrecking Ball.
Oh, well, hold on. Maybe that'll get you back into the good
because
graces.
Because Howdy supported
here.
Him, so now, yes. Yeah.
I got to open it up. I appreciate the phone call. Great job, and thanks for the call. But let's open it up. Clear the lines real quick. Here's what I got for you. Chance to win two VIP tickets to the Seahawks training camp open practice on August 6th.
Wow.
Don't forget the 2018 Seahawks season is right around the corner. Join the team at CenturyLink Field starting August 9th for the most exciting game day experience in the NFL. Tickets start at $68 at Seahawks.com, but we've got VIP tickets
for Monday
for a day of Seahawks training camp. We will give them away to the 12th caller.
Mm.
That's how we're going to do this. 206-421-3776.
Into the 12.
Yeah, got to play to the 12s now and again. All right, 12th caller, 206-421-3776. In the meantime, if you're not calling, I hope you're texting because we need your questions for Answer the Question Jerk next. I'm Brock and Salk.
This is Brock and Salk. Answer the Question Jerk.
Keep asking questions. Come on, I'll answer them. Come on, I'm here. I'm going to answer your questions, dang it.
Answer my question! The Question Jerk!
Well, don't just stand there. Answer the Question Jerk!
All right, let's answer your question, 710-710, powered by Coors Light. Let's answer the Question Jerk. It's how we wrap up every show here on the Brock and Salk Show. Every week.
Is Stroman a pitcher for the Blue Jays still?
Marcus Stroman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's him. Yeah. Can I say he's little, or is that not appropriate too?
He's not a huge guy.
No, he's not.
He's good.
Throw some gas.
Yeah.
All right. What you got?
Hard.
What you got?
That's for sure.
You know, I was looking at the Blue Jays lineup because you guys were saying, oh, it was just kind of miserable. They have two hitters, and they had two hitters in their starting lineup last night that are hitting above 250. And one is Justin Smoak hitting 251.
Yeah. Correct.
The other is Kendrys Morales hitting 257.
Yeah, they're bad. They're bad.
I know.
They're a bad baseball team.
And
they're doing that in an extreme hitter's park.
Yeah, they're real bad.
They stink. All right. Enough of that.
Next question.
Jerks, is Green Lake considered fresh water or salt water?
That's a good question. Depends what end of it, north or south end.
Gross water. Brackish water.
You ever swim in it?
I do not. My kids do.
Oh, they do.
They have gotten in there. I won't do that.
You won't do that.
Especially once they found that catfish, I'm out. Did you hear about that?
No.
You see the picture of the catfish they pulled out of Green Lake?
No.
It's like a 10-foot catfish.
Yeah.
Really?
So disgusting. unless we're being catfished on this whole thing. Huh. But yeah, no, they pulled a catfish out of Greenlight. How did it get there?
Man, I hope Shaquille's good. Gosh. Can you imagine his story if he is good this year? I'm sorry. I'm just trying. Awesome. I'm terrible at this segment because players start to walk out right now. But
yeah, you are terrible at this.
Was segment. It really a 10-foot? It could not it's have been 10-foot.
I'll show it to you. It's disgusting.
Next question.
Jerks, do you prefer wired or wireless earbuds? Brock, I don't think, has headphones.
No, I don't have either. My family all loves the wireless. All of them have it. I just wear my Bose.
Yeah. Oh, the ones we got.
Yeah. Yep. So I wear those.
Here's the thing. Does anyone else have the problem? Like, I've often said that if I could change something about myself, I'd be taller or less hairy.
Yeah.
I would also like to have a larger ear canal so I could use earbuds, because they just fall right out of my ear. It's not
really
big enough.
Oh, interesting.
It's really annoying.
Wow. Little ears.
You're saying your ears are not quite, like, large enough to hear things well or listen to things well?
Right.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yep.
What does that mean? What are you trying to say?
Yeah, this whole short...
You don't have any problems with, like, your
this
mouth
whole
size.
Short movement's got to go.
Ear size?
No, I don't. My mouth size is just fine. Why do you ask? What do you mean?
Interesting. Just curious.
Well, I mean, it's a physical ailment. It's not like it's a mental thing. It's physical. Physical.
There's nothing you can do about it.
Hey, by the way, Nick Vanette equals Dustin Johnson. Very similar.
I think Nick Vanette's got a little more life to him.
I don't know.
What do you mean, no?
I don't know.
Yes, he has more life to him than Dustin Johnson. Dustin Johnson's like half dead. Jeez. Man. That guy's barely awake. Nick Vanette's doing Techno Thursday.
Kind of.
You see DJ doing Techno Thursday unless he's, you know, going back in the stuff. Jerks, when you play games with your kids, do you sometimes let them win to make them feel happy, or do you win at all costs and prove that life is tough? Brock?
I don't know half these dudes walking out of this. This is a problem. I've got a game on Thursday. I play to win the game. I play
no
to win the
what?
Game.
Pretty so much. Titus says, let's race to that fence over there. You smoke him?
If I could, I probably would. I don't know if I would beat him. But, like, games of Sorry and game. Like, I mean, I think that Chutes and Ladders and stuff, Trouble, you play to win.
Poor Avery. She's so nice. We would play Candyland. And, you know, some of the cards in Candyland, like, send you back to the beginning. She removed the card. She's like, well, that card should not be in there anymore. Like, well, but Avery's part of the game. So I don't want anybody to get that card. Like, it wasn't that she didn't want to lose. She didn't want anybody to have to go to the bag.
Oh, bless her heart.
Isn't she sweet?
What that an angel.
Sweet. I know. Jerks, Brock, you mentioned going to the farmer's market on Sunday in Roslyn. What do you like to get at a farmer's market?
Everything. I love to absorb it. I love to soak in humanity. I love the organic nature of it. I love the people put together and try to sell anything. So I will hit almost every booth. Ultimately, I'll end up with, like, blackberries. They got huge blackberries over there. I may get some grass-fed meat. Usually it's not anything craftsy, but I'll take a look at that. So I'm open and willing, and I am a...
I always walk through
I'm a connoisseur
things.
Of those farmers.
You never
markets.
Get anything. I'm
you never do,
like,
huh?
Okay. Get all this at Whole Foods.
Yeah.
Next question.
Jerks, I'm going to the corgi races this Sunday at Emerald Downs. How do you think Wendell would do in a dog race? Depends what they were racing to do. Is it a race to fall asleep? He'd win. Like, who could shut their eyes most quickly and fall asleep? Wendell would be a challenger. If you're actually racing around a track, I don't think he'd be too great.
All I know is Taiwan Walker's Frenchies would dust Wendell.
That's true.
Dust him.
Yeah, it wouldn't take much.
Poor guy.
He didn't want to get out of bed today.
No.
Lazy little guy. Corgi
Next
races
question.
Sound pretty entertaining, though. I'd watch corgis race.
What is a corgi?
They're like the queen's dog. Like, they're long, little pointy
ears. Got those
ears.
Great ears.
Oh, okay.
They're all over Green Lake for some reason. I don't think I've ever been to the Green Lake without seeing a corgi. It's bizarre. And yet I've never met anyone who owns a corgi.
Hmm.
Jerks, have you ever considered creating a board game based off the weird things that have been happening on this show?
Oof.
What would a Brock and Salk board game look like? Howdy, any ideas?
I think it had to be
there
more.
Would be, maybe it's like Monopoly, where you can buy different attributes of the show.
Oh. Let me ask you this. If we were to create a Brock and Salk board game, do you think we could get Keith Law to do a review of it online?
Mm.
Yes, he would, and he would give it half a star.
I think it'd have to be more of a 7-10 board game. I think you've got to...
You've got to open that up.
And, yeah, it's got to encompass all of us.
Probably right on that.
Next question.
You know, Curtis is filling in for Clayton Monday and Tuesday, so he's going to be down here. See Raj, kid from Kent, down here Monday and Tuesday filling in for Clayton and hosting the show, talking to Seahawks, which he's never really done before, so we'll see how that goes. Do you think we can get Mike Davis
I
on with him?
I think you book Mike
Davis. I mean, we almost have
1,000%.
To, right?
1,000%.
I mean, Mike Davis basically said, keep my name out your mouth.
But there's one problem with that. He's going to be practicing from 10 to 12.
That's true.
That's a little bit
but
of a
But he could come down and tape early or whatnot.
Look at little Joey Hunt. Look at that little guy.
Why is he still here?
I don't know.
Okay. There's your boy Stringfellow.
What's up with these short
your
shorts?
Your boy Stringfellow is a freak athlete, huh?
He is. He's Nuke Hopkins, just not quite as fast. He can play. Yeah, keep it going.
All right, we got to get out of here. It's been a fun week, man. It really was. Really fun week. Looking forward to doing it again starting on Monday. Seahawks practicing. Mariners better get this thing in gear, man, and in a hurry. You do not want to even split a series with Toronto.
Nope.
You got to win all three.
Yep.
Like, I mean, really, the pressure is on for them to win all three of these games over this weekend. A split at home against this lousy Toronto team would be no bueno. So hopefully we come in here on Monday, and that's what we're talking about. We'll see you guys then. Have a great weekend. The Hay
Barn.
See everybody.
A role play group?
That's fresh water.
What's the one where that I hear every day at the end of practice where it sounds like the guy's saying, D.A. can't hold me back?
Pretty sure it's fresh water.
But in that sense, the Mississippi River is the ocean. I thought he was talking about the district attorney.
Is penguins.
D.A. can't hold me back.
Get to the chopper!